The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I want us to look today at, we're in the middle of this series called Gospel Fluency. And understand that we are still laying groundwork. In a couple weeks, I think it's a couple weeks, or maybe even next week, we're actually going to get into some practical. How do we apply this? How do we do this? How do we apply the gospel to our everyday life? How do we apply it when we're talking to each other? And we're going to specifically look at certain areas of our lives that we can look at and we can apply it. We're going to spend a couple weeks especially talking about one area, and well, two areas, but kind of the same idea. And I'm going to lay out for you how it works, the mechanics of how being gospelly fluent works. So please make sure you're here next week and the following as we do that. But I want to talk today about who do we believe, not what. I mean, most of the time, we always talk about what we believe, and it's important to know what we believe, and it's important to believe the truth, to believe the right things. There's no doubt about that. But I think that if we actually knew who we believe, if we get who we believe right, I think that what we believe will fall in line. Because we live in a world that, I'm not going to sit for very long, but we live in a world that bombards us, doesn't it? It bombards us with all these different options. You have this. Are you going to be a Ford guy? Are you going to be a Chevy guy? Are you going to be a Buick guy? Whatever. The choices out there are rampant. Are you going to listen to this station or are you going to listen to that station? I remember the day when you could actually hear static in between stations. You know, with digital now, there's no static, but it's like one station after another, after another, after another. And I know there's not that much good music out there, but they need that many stations. But it's amazing because the world is constantly telling us, believe this, believe that. And see, the thing is, it's not that just that we have all these different options. See, the problem is that many of these options that we have contradict each other. So who are we going to believe? That's the question. And as we're going through this gospel fluency, I think it's important that we understand who we believe. Do we believe CNN or Fox News? Do we believe the Democrats or the Republicans? No, we don't believe either one of them. I believe, to be honest with you. Do we believe the scientists who tell us that we are causing global warming? Or do we believe the scientists that say we are not causing global warming? It's a cycle and it's always been this way. Who do we believe? Do we believe ourselves? I mean, I don't know about you, but many times I know I shouldn't believe what I'm thinking. But do we do that? Do we believe what I want to believe? It's getting harder and harder, I think, to believe and believe what we see with our own eyes and what we hear with our own ears. I was going to show you a video. I had it already. I decided not to show it. I go out, if you have a computer, go out to YouTube and look at Robot Soldier. And you'll see an amazing soldier, robot soldier, who's doing some amazing things. Until you find the truth that it's not real. But it sure looks real. They're even able to take your voice. They can take your voice and they can duplicate it and they can make it say anything they want it to say. You cannot believe your ears and you cannot believe your eyes. So, who do you believe? Who do we believe is right? I mean, there seems to be this thought today that, well, what I say is right, you say is right, even if they're against each other. And it's okay, they say, because you can say, think what you would think is right in your eyes, and I can think what's right in my eyes. And I'm like, what? So if I tell you, I am 18 years old, that's the truth to me, and you have to accept it. And you're like, yeah, whatever. But what do we believe? Who do we believe? It's getting harder. Isaiah, I love what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. There's a lot of little things in there that just kind of hit me. Isaiah 2:22 is one of them. Stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath, For of what account is he? I think I need that on an index card, and I need to carry it around with me, and I have this need plastered all over, because I'll be honest with you, there are some times I think a little too highly of myself, and I need to read that verse and remind myself, of what account am I? I mean, I know me. I don't trust me. I know a lot of you. I don't trust a lot of you. And that's no, I'm not being offensive there. I'm not intending that. I just know we're all human. I can't trust me. But who do I trust? See, no matter what we're dealing with in our lives, no matter where we're at in our lives, what it really comes down to is, who do we believe? Are we going to trust human wisdom of our, and I'm not even going to say it's wisdom, a human wisdom of ourselves? Are we going to trust the human wisdom of our elected officials? Are we going to trust Hollywood? Who do we believe? Or are we going to believe God and what God says? Are we going to believe what God says I am? You see, at times I don't even know what I am, who I am. Really. I like to believe what I think I am. But see, God really knows me. He tells me what I am. Do I believe it? Are we going to trust it? You know, who's better to understand us? Oprah? Dr. Phil? Or God who created us? And you see, you start to see where there's this issue, this dichotomy that's happening in our society today, where people don't believe God. They don't even believe in God. But Jesus had a very simple message when he came. In Mark 1:14, he says, now, after John had been arrested, what they were told, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. See, this whole series is about this idea that we need to be fluent in God's gospel. We need to be fluent in it. We want to be so fluent in it that we speak it daily in our lives. We speak the truth of God into our lives all the time. So somebody comes to me with an issue. I speak the truth of God into their lives. I don't tell them what the psychologists say unless the psychologists are speaking the truth of God. I speak the truth of God every moment in every situation. But in order to do that, I need to understand the gospel. I need to know it. See, this is what Jesus was offering. He says, he came proclaiming the gospel. And it was day in and day out, week after week. That is what he never ventured away from the message of the gospel. It was constant. And this is what he said in verse 15. It goes on. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, I'm not so sure the church proclaims the gospel the same way that Jesus did. I was thinking about this. See, we have a tendency to want to reduce the gospel down to spiritual principles. We want to dumb it down. We want to make it easy. We tell people, you're a sinner. And it's true. We are sinners. And all you got to do, it's like I say, all you got to do is you got to say this prayer. And you're good. Now, in reality, yeah, we are sinners, and yes, we need to confess our sins to God. I'm not saying we don't. What I am saying is that we can't just lower it down to just saying a prayer and saying it's done. There's more to it than that. If you read the Gospels in the original Greek, or you read it in the King James Version, or you read it in the English Standard Version, or the Living, or the NIV, it doesn't matter. We do not see Jesus sharing the gospel this way. He does not tell them, okay, you're a sinner, say this prayer, and you'll be saved. He doesn't do that. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And if that's the truth, and if we believe him, and he's the one we're to believe, then repent. And believe. Repent. I've said this before. This idea of repenting is you're going one way and then you're going to turn and go the other way. And many times what we think, well, I'm sinning. I'm living this life. Now I'm going to turn and I'm going to live this life. Okay. I've changed my habits. I've changed my pattern of living. I'm going in this direction now. I'm following Christ. That I have done that. I've changed my ways. Jesus was upset with me because I was living wrong. And now Jesus loves me and is happy with me because I've repented and I'm going the other way. That is completely false. Because you know what I just did? I did it by me. I changed my... Hear me? Do you keep hearing me say, I? That's what I was saying. That's why I said that. I changed my ways. I turned away from here. I followed a different way. I was doing wrong. Now I'm doing good and Jesus loves me. That's wrong. Because what does it say? It says, repent and do what? Believe. Now, I know, believe me, I know that if I truly repent and I believe the gospel, I will turn from my sin and God will help me walk in the correct way. I'm not refuting that. What I am saying is so many times in the church, and I grew up in the church, too many times in the church, we tell people, here's the message, you need to believe and you need to repent. But we don't explain to them what that means. And we tell them you need to repent, you need to say this prayer. And it's all by their works, not by God's. That's the problem. We think about it as behavior. It's not behavior. We tell ourselves we just need more self-discipline, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do it. I only said that because, use that term because that term's been in the news recently. But, you know, it's self-discipline will get you there. But when we do that, we make it a works-based religion. I'm sorry, but Christianity is not a works-based religion. It's all about faith. Now, again, you will change. If it's a true faith, you will change your works. No doubt about it. But it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit doing it with you and through you. The gospel becomes more about modifying our behavior than it does about God. Now we need, like I say, of course we need to change. But understand that if I do it the way that I was taught is that I am going this direction, I'm repenting, and now I'm going this direction. I've made it an outside change, hoping that it makes an inside change. And that's not what God did. That's not what God says. That's not what the gospel says. And if we're going to believe matters, then we need to believe what God says. Because God says it doesn't start out here. It starts in here. See, repentance is not necessarily a physical thing. It's a repentance of the heart. I have to confess my sins to God. And that was the whole point of the prayer, was not for me just to say, you know, I believe you, God. No, it was for me to spill out to God what my sins are. Confessing my sins. And confessing my sins to each other. Confess your sins one to another. That's why Paul wanted us to do that. Confessing that I'm lost. And that I need Him. And then it was the Holy Spirit who was supposed to work in me. But see, if I do all the work, it's all works-based. And it's coming from the outside in, but it's not, it's supposed to be from the inside out. And I'll show it to you, I'll prove it to you. You see, the thing is that Jesus does not call us to stop the bad things in our lives, to doing good things in our lives. That's not what He's calling us for. He is calling us from a place of unbelief in God to a place of belief in God. Once we do that, then all those bad things we were doing will change. If you truly have repented, if you truly believe in God, and you do one of those bad things, it's going to make you feel terrible. It's kind of like, you obviously, anybody who's been in this church long enough knows, I've lost a lot of weight. And how did I do it? I got rid of sugar. So what happens now when I eat sugar? Oh, it hurts. My body actually hates it. That's the way it needs to be with sin. But if there's no change in the heart, I'll just keep eating that sugar. I'll just keep doing those sins. That's why the heart has to change first. He's calling us from a life without God, where we believe we are God, to a life of belief in God. And if that belief is real, you'll know it. You'll feel it. It'll change you. You'll see things differently. The Holy Spirit will work on you. If you look at Abraham, the Bible does not say that Abraham got all better. He changed his ways. He did all the right things, and then it was credited to him as righteousness. What does it say? Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, you look at Abraham, that boy had some trouble. He was a liar. He lied numerous times, even after this. That's okay. Because he believed God, and God was working on him, continuing to work on him, as he does on all of us. But we need to change from in here, not from the outside in. In our humanness, in our sinful nature, we want to live life without God. And in reality, in our humanness, we think we can work our way. If we just change what we do, it'll be better, right? But in reality, we can't, because we haven't changed the heart. The heart's deceitful, and it's full of sin. And it tells us, you know, do what you want. Do what feels good for you. We all deal with that. All parents deal with that. I tell my children, I want you to do this. What do? The exact opposite. Caleb, I want you to get ready this morning on time. What do we find? We find him playing with his toys in his bedroom because that's what he wanted to do. You think we're any different with God? No, that's who we are. It's human. It's human. So we struggle with that. Paul talks about what it's going to take. He says this to us. He says in Romans 12:2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Oh. So don't do what the world wants you to do anymore. Do not be conformed to that world. Be transformed by the renewing of your actions? No. By the renewing of your mind. Why? Because then you can test. You can test whether this is God's will. And his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world where my world is mediocre because my will is mediocre. Trust me. My will is nowhere near perfect. But his will is. Believing the gospel allows us to do life not only with, but for the one who made us. You understand that? It's not just that I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this with God. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. And believe me, there are sometimes, man, the Holy Spirit, I wish he would just leave me alone. And he's telling me good things, and I wish he would just leave me alone. But that's not his will. His will is to work in my life and change me. His work is to work and help me to change my ways. But my heart has to change first. If we believe in Christ, you know what this is like. If you truly believe, so who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what we say about us or what God says about us? I struggle because I talk to people, and I'll talk to people who are believers, and they'll say, well, you know, most people, I think everybody at the core are good. And that's not what Scripture says. Isaiah just told us, don't give any account of man. Who is he? There's no one good. Only God. It's only by God's grace that we're good. Without grace, even general grace on all of society, we would fall apart. So who are we going to believe? Repent and believe in the gospel, because the gospel is so much better and so much more than just escaping from hell. We teach people that, you know, if you want, you know, you need to believe in Jesus or else you're going to hell. And that is true. But it's so much more than that. I mean, that might be what you can get somebody to that spot, but you got to give them more than that. because it is so much more. The good news is that we get God now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is near. It's on the doorstep. We get it now. In the gospel, we get God. And we've been saved from ourselves. See, we've been saved from this idea that we're in control. This idea of self-control. This idea of me. Because it's God. God's the one in control. And I believe Him. He's a lot smarter than I am. He's been around a lot longer than I have. He created everything. Now, do I fully understand Him? No. There are still things that just baffle my mind. I've shared some of them with you, and I could probably give you a whole list of things. I'm just like, why does God do this? I don't get it. And I'm sure He just chuckles at me and says, good, because you're not supposed to. I'm not supposed to fully understand. One day I will. The good news is for now. Believing the gospel allows us to do life with God. And that makes the gospel truly good news. Gospel means good news. It truly is good news. We've been saved from everything we were meant for, everything that we were meant to be. And we're saved from everything we're not supposed to be. And I'll be honest with you, really what our hearts long for is what God offers. It's just our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts don't even know what we should have and what we need. Our hearts know what we want, but not what we need. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's what God says we are. God says, you guys are my children. And the Spirit, He confirms it with our spirit. If you're loved, you are loved, you're accepted. If we love God and we're part of His family, we're loved, we're accepted, we have a future. We belong with Him. We belong to Him. It's not because we've been a good girl or boy. It has nothing to do with it. It's because we believed Him. It's Jesus that makes us the good girl or boy. He covers our sins. I think we've forgotten that. I have a tendency. I do. I have a tendency of making my faith about my works. It's not. About my faith. When Jesus tells us to repent, you know, there's always that first time for repenting. That first time when you get down and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have done this. But the thing about it is that's not a one and done. We need to live a life of repentance. And we do that by being gospelly fluent. We must live a life of repentance. We need to repent all the time when we sin, and you will. We need to run to God, not run from Him. I always tell people, financially, people will say, well, you know, I've got all these creditors. What do I do? I said, run to them. What do you mean? I said, call them. Call them? Yeah. Call your creditors and say, listen, I can't pay you this amount you're asking for, but I'm going to send you this much money. They'll probably laugh at you. But after a while, it's going to be, and if you call them every month, they're going to say, oh, they're running to me, not away from me. Most of the time we avoid it. We avoid the people we don't want to deal with. That's what Adam and Eve did. They sinned against God. What did they do? They hid. What do we need to do? We need to run to God. I want my kids, if they do something wrong, I want them to come and tell me. They hate it. They had to do it recently, to be honest with you. They did something pretty bad. I thought it was pretty bad, but then after a while I realized, psh, I did similar things, and my mom and dad had grace with me, so I had to have grace with them. But they did something at that time, and it was hard for them to tell the person that they wronged them, and then they had to come and tell me that they did it. They had to. I'm their father. I'm their daddy. But they came to me. I didn't have to find it out from somebody else. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to run to Him when we sin, not run from Him. But see, it's hard because our minds tell us something different. Our hearts tell us, no, no, don't run to Him. He's just going to punish you. Don't run to Him. Run away. In fact, keep doing this. Do the same thing. Just keep running. God won't forgive you. You're bad. And that's ourselves telling ourselves that. God says, no, I love you. I'll forgive you. I've already forgiven you. In fact, fact, I don't even remember what you did. You haven't even told me yet, bless you. You haven't even told me what you did, and I've already forgiven you. Run to me. Run to me. Because see, the other thing is what we do is we put on this Christian mask, we put on this idea of who we are, and we lie, which is another sin. We just need to be honest with ourselves, we need to be honest with God. That's what repentance is all about. We need to be honest with others around us. And that's how we speak the gospel into people's lives. Somebody does wrong to me, what do I do? That's okay. I forgive you. No big deal. God forgave you, I do. Because I've been forgiven, I have no right to hold a grudge. I have to forgive. And the Holy Spirit testifies that we are children of God. I love that. We are, you and I, we can go to the most powerful being ever, that ever was. We can go to the creator of the universe, and we can climb up into his lap, and we can say, hi, Daddy. I love it when my kids call me Daddy. When I come home, hi, Daddy. They hear me come through the door, hi, Daddy. It's the first time I don't even see them, they say, hi, Daddy. It's awesome. And I think that's the way God feels when we go to him and say, Daddy, Abba, Father. Wow. And we say, I've done wrong. He says, I forgive. It's okay. Just don't do it anymore. And I'm going to help you. And we do that by faith. It's our faith that allows us to do that. We have to believe that God forgives. We got to believe that God died for us. We got to believe that we have a future in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Did you hear what that said? Did you hear what it said? It said, I do not have to be better. I do not have to try harder for me to please God. What do I need to do? I need to have faith in him. And the amazing thing about it is that faith changes me. And I become that better person. Because I put on Christ. See, I'm not saying that we don't get better. I'm not saying that we don't need to change what we do. What I'm saying is, it takes faith first, and I put on Christ, and I learn, and I grow, and I become closer to Christ, and he changes me in the inside first, and then works its way to the outside. But I have to surrender. I have to surrender my heart. Then I have to surrender my body, and my strength, and everything that I am. I please God by believing. That's awesome. That's something to praise God for. Now, I want you to make sure you do understand that what we believe, I want you to know that not saying that what we believe is not important. It is important. Because understand, even Satan knows the truth. But I want you also to know that no amount of knowledge, you could study the Bible, you could memorize it from cover to cover, it will not save you. Knowledge of the Bible does not save you. Now, what you do with that knowledge could lead you to salvation if you do the right thing. But just knowing the facts don't save you because Satan and the demons, they know the truth. They know God. They believe in God and they shudder. But they don't believe who he is. They don't believe in him like we do. They believe that he exists. But they believe they can take over. So knowledge is important, but we must know the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So understand, we must have the knowledge, but it's relational knowledge. It's not just knowledge. I believe God, and I'm in a relationship with God. He talks to me, I talk to him. I talk to him like he's just sitting here right next to me. I do that all the time. Most of my prayers are not, dear Lord, and which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not, dear Lord, please do this and this and this and this and this, or follow me, thank you, Lord. Most of my prayers are, God, I know you're right here. You know, I need you right now. God, so-and-so, you've laid this person on my heart. It's like out loud, right where I'm at. We're in a relationship together. Because it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. Who you know. I want to jump down real quick. I'm going to just kind of run through this. I want you to understand all this in light of the Lord's Prayer. Kind of helped me. It helped me as I was looking through this, kind of understand this a little better about what do we believe? I mean, who do we believe? And this is where it starts. If we go to Luke, see it in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Jesus is praying and he sees his disciples see him praying. They say, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? John's disciples were taught how to pray. Teach us how to pray. So this is what Jesus said. He says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. See, right there you have to make a choice. Are you going to believe that God is Father, or are you going to believe that you are God? There's no middle road. Is God your Father? The world will tell you he's your enemy. But God says, no, I am your Abba Father. And the world will tell you that he doesn't exist. And he says, oh, I exist. I've proven it. It's in nature. You're without excuse. Do you believe that God sees himself as your Father? And if he does, then we know we can approach him as children. Now, I know that some of us have had bad experiences with our fathers. I know some of us have had absent fathers. Some of us have had abusive fathers. Some of us had great fathers. But understand that he is your good Father. We sang about it. He's a good, good Father. It's who you are. I don't know, but you guys may not understand this. I'm just going to say this. I'm totally amazed. I don't give Brittany. Brittany's the one who plans all the music now. I don't give her all of the verses and everything to do that I'm going to do. But the Holy Spirit leads her to put songs in that fit. The last song we sang fit perfectly with where we're at. God wants us to relate with him as a father. And then in verse 2, it continues on. It says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Hallowed be your name. See, that is to put God's name above everything else. God's name over everything. I have to make that choice. Do I believe God? If I believe him, then I need to hallow his name. And it doesn't mean when somebody says, oh my God, that that's a bad curse word. It's not. If you understand the original Jewish language, when it says, take the name of the Lord, the name's Lord in vain. What it would be is it actually talks about carrying. It's to do things in the name of God that are evil. Do not do it. So a Jewish person will say that, will say, oh my God, they don't find offense in it. They think it's carrying God's name and doing something evil. So where do I place God's name? I place it at such a high mark that I do not want people to look at me. If I'm a pastor, I don't want them looking at me and see me doing things I'm not supposed to do. Because I'm belittling God's name. You, as an image bearer of God, if people know that you're a believer, are carrying God's name. Hallow it. Lift it up. Raise it higher. We, in our humanness, are tempted to worship other things. Do not worship anything more than you worship God. Worship God alone. Nothing else. Your kingdom come. What do you want? Do you want God's kingdom or your kingdom? Again, who are you going to believe? Is God's kingdom going to be better or my kingdom? I believe God's kingdom is going to be a heck of a lot better than mine. Mine's not going to be very good because mine is human. I want God's kingdom. So again, it's a choice. Verse 3 says, give us this day our daily bread. Who's your provider? Who provides for you? Well, I work for it. I get it. No, God gave you the ability. God provided that for you. He provides for you. World today tells you that you're the provider, or the world will tell you that the government will provide for you. Wrong. God is your provider. And as a church, God is our provider. God has provided enough in this church for us to take care of everyone in this church without the government's help. Question is, are we going to do it? Verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Do you believe that God forgives your sins? Do you believe him? He says he does. Do you believe that he does? See, it really comes down to who do you believe? Do you believe yourself? Do you believe the world? Or do you believe God? If you believe God, he's giving you the gospel to speak into the lives of those around you and into your life. So if you believe God, then you can believe his word. And in his word, he says, you're my child. and I love you. In fact, I love you so much I died for you. And I forgive you of your sins. Quit trying to be better. Believe. Repent. And you will be better if you truly trust the Holy Spirit to help you. Who do you believe? Who do you believe right now? And who are you going to continue to believe? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for everything that you are. We thank you that we can trust you, that we can believe you. When you say, I have forgiven, when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, we know it is finished. When you say, everyone who calls on your name will be saved, if we believe, Father, and we call on your name, we are saved. No doubt. If you say you're coming back, we believe. Now, Lord, you know. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. There are areas in our lives we still struggle, and you're still changing us and growing us. And we do praise you for that. And we know, Lord, that we cannot get to heaven. There's no 10-step program to get to heaven. There's no 10-step program to get back into the good grace, your good graces. It takes belief. It takes changing of the heart. Because if we don't change the heart, Lord, we know that the body may change, the actions may change, but the heart still stays wicked. Our heart needs to change. Change us. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever. Change us from the inside out. And we will praise you. And we will change our actions. Because we won't be able to tolerate them anymore. Father, I pray you bless us. You have in so many ways, but you would continue to bless us, Lord, as your people. And I pray this in your name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.